My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome on this first Sunday in June, when we are starting our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of an exciting day for me anyway, because I've been preparing for this and making provision to talk about this wonderful event that happened, the day of Pentecost. Of course, we celebrated Pentecost a couple of weeks ago, and we were given the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is a promise fulfilled by Jesus. But it means so much more than the Holy Spirit coming to the disciples on that one day all those years ago. But it instituted for us as Christians and followers of Jesus a way of life. It brought a fullness of the presence of God to His people. And by that, we are empowered to do the ministry, to do what God wants us to do. So we're going to start with our series with a rather odd picture. I don't know if maybe it's odd, maybe it's not. What we have here, you see, a little bit distorted on the wall and everything, but I think you can make that out. This is a priest, kind of obviously, palms in his hand, running down the street. Somebody took this picture on Palm Sunday this year and put it up on Facebook. I thought, well, this is just perfect for the series for which I was preparing. And I'll tell you why. Does anybody, you don't know why. I mean, you couldn't possibly know why. You're going to find out why. This priest is running, probably to get to the front of wherever they're going so that they can do their Palm Sunday liturgy. You know, we used to go, you know, to the park and then walked in the village here. It's just been too cold, I think, the last couple of years. I don't remember the last time we did it. This year it was 31 degrees or something on Palm Sunday. We didn't do it. But in the past, we have done those kinds of palm processions on Palm Sunday through the village. And that's what they're doing here. This is in New Paltz, New York. And that is Father Andrew Wins. He is a priest in the Charismatic Episcopal Church, Christ the King, New Paltz, New York. And the reason that we have his picture up there is because he's running to serve the Lord. He's excited. He's going to get there. And nothing's going to stop him. And there he is, running as fast as he can to serve the Lord. And the reason this is so appropriate is because our major resource for this study, the book that I'm using, is called The Gifts of the Spirit: Understanding and Receiving God's Supernatural Power in Your Life. The Gifts of the Spirit, written by a man named Derek Prince. Many of you have heard of Derek Prince, Derek Prince Ministries, worldwide international ministries. He has many different books and things out there that are available. What I like about the Gifts of the Spirit, what about this book, is that it's very balanced. And I think it's a good study and a good resource for us. I think it's very good theology. Derek Prince is that man's grandfather. And I thought, well, that's a great, I saw that picture, I thought, that's pretty cool, because we're going to talk about Derek Prince, and we're going to use Father Andrew's picture in our study series. He has no idea we're doing this, and I did not ask permission or anything like that, but you know what, when you put a picture up on Facebook, hey, guess what? But I like the fact that he is running. And so we are going to see him running to serve the Lord. And through this series, we're going to put ourselves in that place that we cannot just be available. God, I'm here if you need me. No, we are going to find ourselves running to serve the Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. The gifts of the Spirit. We are going to review a little bit of what we talked about on Pentecost Sunday, and then do today as kind of an introduction to how this series of sermons is going to go. It will be in four parts. So we'll do this through the month of June. The audio tape and the PowerPoint presentation will be online at the Bread of Life website so that you can listen to it again, look at the slides that go along with it, even print them off if you want to, make notes, do that kind of thing. I also have a few copies of the book available if you're interested in taking the book with you today. I'll make that available at the end of church. Simply ask you to provide for us what it costs to get the books here, and that's $15 a piece, so that we can break even on that. But the books are available. You can also find the book online yourself, or maybe even get it. I'm not sure if it's available as an e-book or not, but that's possible. But all of these resources will be available for your future study and for you to mull over and everything. But we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and those are based in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we'll be looking at those as we go along over these next 4 weeks. But by way of review, I want us to start by even looking at what we're talking about when we say the gifts of the Spirit. And if you remember from our Pentecost sermon, gift in the New Testament Greek is charisma. When we hear about gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about the charisma of the Spirit. Charisma equals gifts. That word comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. So charisma, gifts, comes from grace. And so charisma are grace gifts. And something that comes from grace is something that you don't have to pay for, that you don't have to earn. It's something that's free. So the charisma are grace gifts. They're free gifts from God. Absolutely free. No strings attached. Now, he talked about my kind of mixed up, you know, way of giving presents, where I want to give, you know, Al something really nice for Christmas and it's going to cost $25. So as soon as he gives me $25, I'm going to get his Christmas present and give it to him. Well, that's not a free gift then, is it? God does not ask you to pay for or to earn or to do anything to receive his grace. That's why it's called grace, is because it's free. And the charisma are free gifts from God that are given to each one of us. We are charismatic. The Charismatic Episcopal Church. You might be thinking, hey, I know that word. The Charismatic Episcopal Church. We are a church that is charismatic. We are using God's grace gifts. That's supposed to be a foundation of who we are. We are episcopal. We are governed by bishops, from the Greek word episkopos. So we are charismatic, based in the free gifts of God, governed by bishops, as outlined in Titus and Timothy, and that we're given in the New Testament, the structure of the church. And again, the Greek word episkopos. And we are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the assembled body of Christ. So we are the Charismatic Episcopal Church, using God's grace gift, governed by bishops and the assembled body of Christ. This is us. And by the very nature of who we are, and by the name, the label that we place upon ourselves, we're not only supposed to be aware of, but we are supposed to be using and operating in the gifts of God. And that's why we are who we are. This is kind of the balance that I was talking about. You know, we are charismatic, we're fully charismatic, we're fully evangelical, and we're fully sacramental in this church. We bring the three expressions of Christianity all together in one place. And we are not allowed to emphasize one over the other, or say that one is more important than the other. That's who we are. It's called the convergence movement. We're not the only ones doing it. Many of you remember Father Michael, the American Catholic Church, of which he was a part. They're very much a convergence church. We're not the only ones doing that, but it is important to realize that, you know, we have that in our name for a reason. We are a church that uses the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is governed by bishops. That's us. We're charismatic. We're evangelical. We're sacramental. The purpose of spiritual gifts, and this is one of the reasons why we are who we are, is that we understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's why we are a charismatic church, and why we're not just a church that happens to have charismatic individuals here and there. But we are to be a charismatic church because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, each person, for the profit of all. And Derek Prince writes in his book, the great reason for having the baptism in the Holy Spirit is what it will do for the body of Christ. And most Christian people get that backwards nowadays, quite honestly. And, you know, God love our Pentecostal friends, but one of their strongest forms of evangelizing is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. And that's absolutely backwards. It's you are going to experience this, and you will have this wonderful infilling. You will, it's very individual, and that's not who we are supposed to be. We are to be a charismatic church because the manifestation is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's something that we do for the body of Christ. And that's how the gifts of God work. They benefit all. And God uses the individual to do that. Now think about the different things you know, that we know about in Scripture, but let's look first of all at this Pentecost that we celebrated. The Holy Spirit came down on those disciples and they all began to speak in other tongues, different languages that everybody was able to understand. And it was a filling of the a filling of the individual with the Spirit of God so that they could minister to other persons. It's the manifestation of the Spirit seen and experienced by others. That's when the use of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, makes that manifestation possible for us. When it is seen and experienced. Being filled by the Holy Spirit and nobody knows it is pointless. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, to actually go forth and exercise one of the spiritual gifts, and we'll get to those, you know, in a little bit and in detail over time. When you are filled with the Spirit of God to use a gift of the Holy Spirit, like to pray someone, pray for someone, and have them experience God's healing. Or when you are given the a word of wisdom from God that allows you to really effectively counsel and help someone. That's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that is made manifest and known to someone else as they are ministered to by God through one of us as His vessels. So the reason for the gifts of the Spirit is that they will bless the body of Christ. And again, that's how we are a charismatic church and not a church that happens to have charismatic people in it. It's really significant that we embrace that and understand it, because we're going to learn that all of the gifts of the Spirit are present and available in the Christian church today, and we have to embrace them, and people have to discover the gift that God has for them. How is God going to use you? How does God want to use you? What have you been given already, and how is that going to benefit the people of God, and not just ourselves? 1 Corinthians 12:31, we are to earnestly desire the best gifts. Don't you want the best gift? Don't you want the best gift God has for you? Oh, you know, that of course we want the best gift. You know? What'd you do when you were a kid? And you ran downstairs Christmas morning, when you're supposed to open presents, not Christmas Eve. When you ran downstairs on Christmas morning, and you looked, and there were a bunch of boxes under the tree, and many of them had your name on them. Which one did you want to get to first? And why? This is the best gift. You know, you knew that this box had the best gift in it. You know, here's, okay, you know, you picked up the one that wasn't in a box, and it's obviously real soft and everything, and you know, okay, that's the sweater from Aunt Louise, okay. You know, or though that's the socks that Grandma always gives me, and that was the one that went off to the side, and you opened it eventually, but you went for the box because you knew that that was the best gift. That's what we're supposed to do with the gifts of the Spirit, is to earnestly desire the best gifts, those gifts that will empower the kingdom of God and the people of God. And that's what we're supposed to seek out. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're told, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, you know what? You already have the gift, but you're neglecting it. You're not using it. Don't neglect it, embrace it, and use it. So we're supposed to pray and desire what God has for us. And then when we figure that out, we're actually supposed to do something with it. That makes sense, doesn't it? Boy, you want that bicycle. You're a kid, I want that bicycle. I am desiring that bicycle. I'm going to get that bicycle. Oh, I'm desired. That's the best gift I could possibly get, as a bicycle. You get your bicycle, and it's got a nice big bow on it, and you go, well, that's a nice bicycle, and it sits there, and you never ride it. Does that make it a good gift? It doesn't. Desire the best gift, and then when you get it, don't neglect it. There are 26 charisma, 26 gifts mentioned in the New Testament. And we'll go through that list over time. But they're divided into 9 major gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 major charisma of the Holy Spirit. Those 9 are divided into 3 categories that make them easier to understand. The revelation gifts, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. This will be our focus next week. We're going to talk about these 3 things. So you'll see that in these 3 categories, that's what we'll focus on over the next 4 weeks. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Wisdom and knowledge are 2 different things. You can have a lot of knowledge about something and know a lot of facts and have no clue what to do with it. Do we know people like that? Sometimes we do. The second category are power gifts, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. Different things. And again, we'll talk about what those are and how those are defined in Scripture. And that we try not to confuse those or mess those up, because they are spiritual gifts. Remember, though, you know, it's God who gives the faith, God who does the healing, God who works the miracles. We are used as vessels. And then the third category, the vocal gifts, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And we talked a little bit about that on Pentecost as well, where, you know, the different kinds of tongues, where the disciples were speaking, and yet people heard them in whatever language was their native language. And it wasn't, you know, Peter wasn't speaking 16 languages all at the same time. He was uttering what God gave him to utter, and then the people heard them. You know, this is the manifestation. The people heard his words in their native tongue. Gave you the example of a person who went up to pray for someone and started praying over them. And when they were all done, the person stopped and asked, "Where did you learn Chinese?" And the man, "I don't know Chinese. I never learned Chinese." But that person heard that message in that native tongue. There's interpretation of tongues, where someone speaks in a language that's a language that they don't know, a language that people don't recognize, but someone else clearly hears and understands it, and that person says, "I know what was said." Again, manifestation. It's not just a gift for the sake of the gift. It is for the sake of the church. And when the gift is used, it blesses everyone. So again, 26 gifts mentioned in the New Testament, 9 major gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what those are over the course of time, and then what God wants us to do with them. 1 Corinthians 7:7, each one has his own gift. Every person here has a gift. God's got a gift for you. There's something under the tree. Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 1:7, you, church, as Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, you come short in no gift. There's not one gift that's lacking. Well, our church has everything except the gift of healing. The church has every gift. Paul makes it clear to the church in Corinth that you have all the gifts. You're not using them. You're neglecting them. You haven't embraced what God has given you. But it's not like God didn't give it to you. We haven't started to use it right. And if you know anything about the church in Corinth, Paul's declaring to them they have every spiritual gift. They have all that's necessary. Everything that God wants them to have, they have. The church in Corinth was messed up. You don't have to be a perfect church to be blessed by God. God wants the church to be blessed. God wants the church to be operating within His gifts, within His will. That's the charismatic part. So we're not going to wait around until we have the perfect church before we decide we're going to try to operate, you know, embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. If you're waiting to find the perfect church, you're in the wrong place. The church is given every gift, and we must embrace and use those gifts. So this is what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at those 3 different categories of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into what those mean, how those gifts operate. And we're going to, through our time of prayer and discernment, figure out what God has for us. Because God has a gift for you. There's something under the tree. And you want the best gift. Earnestly desire it. And then don't neglect it. Because God, if we empower this church with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the way God wants us to, we're going to go out. I mean, that's how the world was changed. That's how the world was changed. 12 guys that Jesus empowered to go forth and change the world. Well, we got them beat. We're double that. We can do better. We just got to run. Run. Run toward the gifts that God has for us. Father God, as we begin this study series, we ask your blessing upon each person here that we would open our hearts and minds to what Scripture has to say, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to the empowering that you have for each Christian believer. Lord, you promise that you have something special for each one of us. We ask you to help us to embrace that, to go forth into this world making manifest the wonderful presence of God in our lives. Father, help us to truly embrace those things, also to find the balance and the true interpretation that you would have of all these things. Father, help us to set aside any fears, any doubts. Father, any sense of being embarrassed or of being uncertain. Let us put all our trust in you as we seek to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.